that, you know, that ended probably only months before I turned to an eligible age. And it's amazing how God works in our lives and things like that. Anzac Day in itself, and this is not part of my message, but Anzac Day in itself is always somber. And the reason, I believe, for the somber nature of Anzac Day is that these young men and women, and Julie read the scripture there, no greater sacrifice can someone give than to lay down their lives for another. But these young men and women gave their lives, but as their life was given, that completed the effort that they could put in. There was to be no more after that. Is that it ceased and finished at that point. Do you know that the somberness that we hold over Anzac Day is because man cannot complete anything by dying in himself. Only Jesus, through his death and resurrection, all right, goes on. And Paul speaks about the church is a place of exchange. We exchange our somberness for rejoicing because we have the message that Jesus went on. He gave his life, but then he rose again into new life, completing the work that was set before him. And it is. It is. Because as a nation, we dwell over Anzac Day and we can only be somber because there is nothing more to be completed there. We can only learn from that. And what did we learn? Not very much. We continued into conflict and into more conflict and into further conflicts. As men and women, in our own strength, we aren't the answer. We will not have the answer in us. And only if we turn to Jesus will we find the answer that will complete that which is set before us. I'm going to ask you that if you have your Bible in your hand, is to turn into the book of John. Is that if you're like me, you'll need glasses to read a lot of the things. All right, but out of the book of John today, there's so many beautiful and amazing scriptures. So let's go to 13, the book, chapter 13. And it's the Gospel of John, not 1 John. Okay, Wano? We know which one we're going to today. It's the one sort of closer to the beginning end. But as I bring this word today, let's just pray. Lord, as I come, Father, I put my notes aside. And Father, I just surrender to you that what I bring today is what you want to bring to your house. Father, everything you do is for our good, to lead us to a place of all the gifts and all the blessings that you have for us, Father. That's your desire, Father, that you can honour us and bring to us everything that you've set before us. And Father, if the word might seem a little hard sometimes, then let it be that, Lord. Our hearts are open. We're willing, Father, to come today to surrender to you. I'll just let's go back to John 12 just for a sec and 26. And as I read this, this is Jesus speaking. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. So that's us, all right? If we're following him and we're with him, we will be with him. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Now it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And what I want to just do before I start in my word is I actually want to honour some people in this house. I want to honour Paul and Jane. I know they don't want honour, all right, because like the rest of us, we come to serve. And it's not about being honoured, but we're honouring men and women today who gave their lives in battlefields in nations all around the world. But Jesus says here, he who will serve me, my Father will honour. And today I give honour to Paul and Jane for their commitment to this church, to our beautiful Julie. All right? We give honour. I know the Father gives honour, but we do here in this house. All right? Because no greater love can someone have that they lay down their lives. And to serve, Jesus says, he who will lay down his life will live. All right? But he is not prepared to, will die. And as people come and serve in this house, laying down their lives, and you know, the Father will and continue to honour and bring glory. Also, you as a congregation, I give honour to. Because without the people in the house, the building doesn't mean anything. All right? It is not the church of God. It's just the way it works, eh? I was worried there was going to be Paul creating me havoc today, but you know. But to give honour, and so I'm going to go back to that scripture, 12:26. Whoever serves me must follow me. So those that are serving are following Jesus. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. And as I bring this word today, is that my goal, my heart, I shouldn't say it's my goal, it's Jesus' goal, that all of us will grow to a place where we will continue to run the race with endurance, to complete the work that was set before us, and that he has begun in us, he will complete. And I'm excited about that. If I mention some things in here that might seem a little bit harsh or might make you think about where you might be standing and what you're doing, then is just let that wash over you. Just see if it's something the Holy Spirit wants to touch in you. And so now let me begin my word, eh? So the message there, you can see, we have before you, a picture of the Last Supper. Paul and I were talking in the prayer room this morning about what our image and our perception of Jesus is, what the spiritual realm and the things like that around us. And is that probably from pictures like that, from, you know, other people's experiences, things like that, we might have a preconceived idea about what Jesus and who he is, what he looked like, what he did, all those kinds of things. But importantly, he was a man that walked here on earth. He is God incarnate. He was here. He understood. He knows all of our hurts, our aches, our pains, all of those things, because he walked as a man here on earth. But he was also the Father's Son. He is also in the Father. He is so many things that we just can't even begin to comprehend. But what I want to talk about there is, I'm just going to read now 13 for a sec. John 13.
Get rid of my jacket.
Woohoo!
Now I'm getting serious.
Got my new white T-shirt on. Janine's pinned a bit of green on me, and it's pretty good. I'm going to actually... we'll start at 7. We'll go back up 1. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" So this is 13 and verse 6. Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet, his whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And I'm just going to leave it there for a little bit, and I'm going to go back to the message that Julie brought last week about where are you seated. And she spoke about being seated in heavenly places with Jesus. Today, as we look at that picture up there of the Last Supper, is last week the Holy Spirit asked me a question, or showed me, revealed to me, whatever. I don't know, I'm still trying to figure out how that came to pass. But he showed me the picture of the table that Jesus had set. But Jesus was asking the question, I've set the table, I've given the invitations, why aren't they coming? And he was speaking that to the church, is if we have a look at the people that were here in this these couple of verses in chapter 13. If we look firstly that with Jesus was a man named John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. All right, so we know that about him. We also know that we have Peter, the impetuous one, that was in the picture. And even here, Peter's saying, no, Jesus, don't you wash my feet. You know, Peter was always about his thinking and about what he was doing. We have John, who the opposite, was just laying back on Jesus. And, you know, often, you know, it's referred to in Scripture that he just lay back on his chest. And can you imagine being that close with Jesus, you know? But today, that's what Jesus is asking of us. Will we become like John? Will we be able to, and as Julie brought in a message last week, not commit, because commit requires an act of our will, all right? She asked, will we surrender? Because surrender takes it out of our hands and puts it in his hands. And today, as we look at that picture up there now, I'm just going to throw a bit. What was the last thing Jesus said in, just there to all the boys? Smile for the camera. Okay, because they're all ready for the picture, aren't they? Okay, you thought it was going to be really profound, didn't you? All right, but what do we do today? We all gather together, and there's always someone saying, smile for the camera, you know, or look to the camera, or, you know, whatever it is. But each and every one in there, but also at that table, there was a betrayer. Is that, you see, the table is open. Jesus prepared a table. He prepared a table for anyone who will accept the invitation to come. And as I do this today, is that another thing happens at the table is that we get to eat. Now, a lot of our congregations today are starving in an abundant paddock of food. All right? And the word that we have here in our hands is that if we're prepared to come, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I am, you know, the wine spilled, poured out for you. He offers to be all that we need, but so many of us in our congregations aren't taking up the offer of the food. We have the word. We have it in front of us, but we're not even taking the time to open it and look into it and to see what Jesus wants to bring to us. And when I ask this, and I ask this, and the men know that have been coming along regularly, they're getting sick of me saying this, I'm sure. But what I want to help you to do is get to a point where you know how to feed yourself, all right? Because there is coming a time where we will not be standing with someone else, or there will not be someone else handing out the food to us, all right? We won't be coming overweight. We will be trimmed down. We will have to learn to utilize and use what's been given to us, all right? That time is coming, all right? Don't doubt me on that, all right? But if you know how to go to the table to actually take of the food that's there and utilize it, okay, we won't be anemic and dying of starvation and wondering why we're sick, wondering why our families have got things going wrong in them. We will be feeding on the word, and it will change lives. It will change our lives. It will change people's lives all around us. It is so many things happen at the table with Jesus. Again, it comes back. We have to accept the invitation, all right? Because a lot of people, and Julie brought a great message the other week about observers and followers. And I would suggest that within the body of Christ today, there are a large amount of observers. They're actually standing there looking at the table with Jesus and the disciples, observing it, seeing who didn't eat that right or didn't get that bit right or, you know, what sort of food would they shouldn't be eating that? Okay, we know that even the Jesus went through all of that. You know, the Pharisees give him heaps all the time. But in the congregations, in the body of Christ today, there are a lot of us in that position where we're not actually committed and accepting the invitation, but we're standing, observing what's going on, rather than being followers, participators, partakers of the table set before us. Very good. Thank you. Notice I haven't got to Minash yet, which is really good. Thank you. Is that if anyone asks me a simple question, I'll generally I answer them with this, is that, and it's an answer, and it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Because it doesn't matter what problem you come to me with, all right, that is my answer, all right? Because it's not up to me to seek the kingdom of God. I'm seeking it, I'm walking in it, I am going through the things I have to go through as God sanctifies me and brings me to a place where one day I will be perfected as I enter into heaven, all right? Along the way, I will let you down, okay? I'm not the object of your faith. If Julie's standing up here bringing the word, she's not the object of your faith. Jesus has to be the object of your faith. I know it's nearly close with Paul, all right, if he's up here, all right? But is I want to let you know that men and women, we will fail you. We will let you down. You will find that things are... Yeah, it's not all hunky-dory. They haven't got it all together, all right? We've got beautiful Sandra who's going to bring the word next week, but I'm sorry, she will let you down at some point, all right? As faithful as she is and how diligent she is in the word, okay? Your object of your faith has to be on Jesus and what he's set before you. And as we go to the table there, let's just have a quick look at that. Let's go to Matthew 6 and 33. It's a good book. Okay. So here you go. You found it there. Would you like to go up one to 32? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So this is, doesn't matter what need you have, all right? If you need food, if you need clothing, if you need, Jesus knows all of these things, all right? But he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus' promise to us is that whatever you have in your life, whether it's problems, whether it's illness, whether it's lack of food, whether you haven't got a shirt to wear, come, Seek first the kingdom of God and Jesus' righteousness. Because another thing, as we come to the table, you don't have to worry about what you're going to wear, because Jesus has clothed you in his righteousness. All right? Guess what? We don't have to stand at the wardrobe, going through the wardrobe, figuring, what am I going to wear? All right? We have to put on. Okay? All right? I'm sorry, but come clothed in his righteousness. It is there before you. Okay? Is that, have a think about also whether you're one of those people that instead of grabbing hold of the word yourself and going to Jesus, whether you're like Peter. Because I just want to read this little bit here, if I can just pick it up really easily. But anyway, it's where John's reclining back, and Peter says to him, you ask him, all right? Peter, one of the disciples, is like, Jesus is here, right? John's leaning back on his chest, and Peter's saying to John, you ask him. Are we one of those people, all right? Are we asking someone else to ask Jesus for us, or are we going direct to Jesus and saying, hey, Jesus, I need your help. I need your help, okay? It's not through another person. Jesus is the one, all right? He is the mediator. He is the one between you and God the Father. He is, all right? I encourage you today. Men know I'm a bit passionate about this, all right? But it's for us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It's for us to come to Jesus. I watched from up the back today as people were on their knees. There's nothing wrong with being on your knees before Jesus. I don't care how good you got it together, because Jesus wants to bring blessing into our lives. He wants us to go from here, from a somber mood to one of rejoicing, knowing that he has completed the work, all right, that he has for us. There's so many beautiful things that he brings to us. So if we just recap on a couple of things here. Jesus is there now with John, with Peter, but he's also there with Judas, who's going to betray him. And again, where are we in our lives? Are we sitting at the table with Jesus? Have we accepted the invitation? But inside us, we keep falling back into this betrayal of our King. And, you know, something keeps grabbing us. And I'm going to suggest to most of us, being like the rest of us, is that pride is a dangerous area in all of our lives. Because pride means that we look to things, but we know better. We already have the answer figured out, and we know better. All right? And if we go back to Julie's word about observers and followers, is that observers are generally good at knowing better. All right? They've already figured out, you know, what's wrong, and that things should be done a different way. Where followers come and are prepared to serve, laying their lives down, not trying to outfigure it, outthink it, or get something better. And in our prideful life, we can become those betrayers to Jesus just through our pride, because something can rise up in us that can draw us away again, all right, that puts Jesus back on the cross, and we have to go through the process again. And I suggest that most of us are like the rest of us in that, is because I know myself, if just the word for today, Jules is promoting it, but the word for today was a beauty. I don't know whether anyone read it, all right, but in it, he talks about a Christian professor, and the professor actually goes on and you know, they're bringing the word. But he says, here I am. He says, I have these thoughts. I have these problems in my life. I am all of these things, all right, and yet I'm the Christian, all right. Just because you're called by his name doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems, all right. But we need to bring it. We need to bring it to the table. We need to be joined in fellowship with Jesus, and we need, all right, his work in our lives. not our work in our lives, okay? Not, and it's not a commitment, all right? It's not a commitment. It is a surrender, surrendering our lives, okay? I had so many other things to speak about, but the book of Malachi, he brings a rebuke to the priests because the priests have forgotten their role. They weren't building the Father's house. They were focused on their own things, all right? They moved away from doing things as in order and as they should for the kingdom of God. And I suggest that a lot of us are like that, is that we get caught up in so many other things, all right, in so much, all right, that we forget to build the Father's house first and then ours follows after that, all right? Is that, and I suggest in our lives that one of the assets that we all have is time, is that if we will give the first fruits of our time firstly to Jesus, all right, and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and let him direct our paths. Proverbs 3, beautiful bit of scripture where he promises to direct our paths if we will put it in his hands, all right? And I put this out there today purely because the body of Christ, we need to start to grow up and mature. If God's going to fill this house, all right, with unsaved people, okay, each one of us needs to be grown up. We need to be able to feed ourselves. We need to be able to eat of the meat, all right? So that then when the others come, we can teach and help and to move them on, okay? But I would suggest that, like a lot of other congregations in the body of Christ worldwide, is that we are actually starving right here. There is an abundance of food all around us, but most of us are anorexic and we're not feeding on what is put before us. And I only throw that out there, gang, but if I'm an example and I'm limited to a few hours a week in my life, then I would suggest that a lot of us, like the rest of us, are lacking in our sustenance. One of the other things I was going to speak about was out of Numbers and 22 and verse 21. And that's, Paul and I were talking about, you know, being able to see in the spirit realm. But it's actually where, that in that bit of verse, it's about the donkey who sees the angel of the Lord and refuses to travel. And Balaam, who's riding the donkey, who's the priest at the time, you know, beats the donkey. And anyway, it goes on for three times. Till then, the donkey turns around and says to Balaam, "Why do you beat me? Can't you see what I'm seeing? You know, and you're off track, Balaam." And this is the man of God. And Paul and I were just talking about in the prayer room earlier, is that the image and what we look at and try and understand of Jesus, you know, is we have men's and women's interpretation of things. And I keep saying to the men, yeah, but what is God saying to you? All right, go to the Word. Each one of you personally go to the Word and see what God is saying for you. All right, there is a point of time, as I say, you're going to come where Joyce Meyer won't be here. All right, she won't be explaining what the Word's trying to tell you. All right, is it not the truth or not the truth? All right, there is a time coming. All right, where we might not even be allowed to hold on to a Bible. We will have to know the Word. It will have to be in our hearts. It is coming. We know it's coming. Sandra will bring a word. I don't know what she's going to bring, but everything has its time and its season and its place. Jesus has come as the Lamb of God. He is in that role at this point of time. He didn't come to judge the world at this point. He came to save the world. He is coming at a point where he will judge the world. He will judge. We will face judgment. All right. Everything in its time and its season. All right. But for right now, God wants each one of us, all right, to judge ourselves. In 1 Corinthians, he says, if we will judge ourselves, we will not have to, you know, face this greater judgment. All right. Is that if we will look to the yardstick that is Jesus, if we will look at our lives and we will go and take the word, open it up, to read the word, to see, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, to me, to you, in your heart, what he wants to say to you, okay? Then you're not getting it secondhand from me or from Paul or from Sandra or from someone else. You're getting the truth from the Father himself, all right? Okay, so going back, where are you seated? Knowing where you're seated. You have been invited to the table. You can sit with Jesus. We can feed with Jesus. First thing, we have to accept the invitation. All right? If you're out there in your own strength trying to sort it out, then problems, challenges, health issues, things like that will probably follow. The word tells us that. If you want to accept the invitation, come to Jesus and not commit your life, but surrender your life. All right, because John had surrendered his life to Jesus. Peter was in the process. Peter would go on to deny Jesus 3 times. We all know the story. And it would take then a few episodes for Jesus saying to Peter, you know, do you love me? Yes, I do. All right, do you love me? Yes, I do. All right, I would suggest that a lot of us are like that, is that Jesus has been asking us for a long time, do you love me? Do you love me? And we go, yes. All right, but we haven't quite got to that place of surrender yet that he's wanting to bring us to. And just as we close up today, I believe strongly that that's what he's asking each one of us in the house, is that will we come to the table? Will we surrender our lives? Because no greater love can a man or woman have than he will lay down his life. And the Father promises that those who will serve him, he will honour. And so today, just on that, is that I'm just going to pray, Lord, for this congregation, Father, that are hearing this word. Father, that for each one of us, that, Lord, you will open our hearts. You will, Father, just allow us, Father, to look into our own lives today, to hold up the yardstick of Jesus against our lives and see where we sit. And, Father, to be able to rightly judge ourselves in this point, Father, that we might come and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, your righteousness, Jesus. Nothing to do with us. Another thing that we see at the table is the work has been completed. There is no more to do. We come clothed in your righteousness, Jesus. We come to eat of your body, the strength and the sustenance, all that we need. We come to partake of your blood, Jesus, that washes us, Father, and sets us apart from the iniquity, the sin that would try and ensnare us, Father. And Lord, I just pray a blessing over this congregation, Father. A blessing, Father, of your revelation. Father, as people start to take up your word, Father, to seek it in their own lives, Father, to grab hold of it, Father, to have the nourishment, the sustenance, all that it brings, the healing. Father, just the joy that comes out of it. Father, we know that all these things will be added to those that believe. Father, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Oh, my goodness, Lord. And Father, today, Father, I pray that, Lord, you would reveal to each one of us, Father, your Son, Jesus, as we come to the table and be seated with you. No longer standing outside, observing, but submitting, Father, coming, surrendering to you, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, Jules.